Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy to us, your grace to us. Thank you for drawing us unto yourself. Thank you for protecting your people from the swamp creatures out there and delivering them from evil. Thank you, Lord, for showing your people how to exercise their faith and stop Satan dead in his tracks. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to share with you today about the infectious swamp creatures from below and what you can do about them. And this first revelation was given to Jeff Shaw on 10/27 of this 2020. He said, Sandy, myself, and Dude, our little dog, and some other young man, about 20-ish, were in this dream. And we were in very tall brush in a swamp land by a bayou. Have you been hearing about the swamp lately? Well, the swamp is what people are calling the criminal, immoral, corrupted, leftist entity out there. And there is, of course, a leftist, factious swamp in Christianity and in politics. And they are full of hatred for the right and the true Christians. A swamp is unclean, and the factious in both camps are unclean and, in many cases, sexual predators. Jeff went on to say, Dude was on my left and Sandy was on my right. And the young man stayed on the land and went to the right of the water and said, I can see if the fish will swim toward you all so that you can catch them. We said, okay. And then we began our walk on the water. That was very dark and murky. That's right, you heard it right. Walking on the water. We've had dreams, quite a few dreams about walking on the water. And it usually means overcoming sin, the corrupt nature, so on and so forth. It's under your feet, right? Well, the dark, murky water is the words and thoughts and the nature of the very corrupt swamp creatures. And as Noah was above the waters that killed the wicked beneath him, so are the Shaws. They're walking on the water. They're above the curse. You know, the water, washing of the water with the word is both a blessing and a cursing. It's a blessing if you obey it, and it's a curse if you don't. And to be in or under the water represents corruption. Okay. We came into an opening in the swamp when we looked up and saw a giant black shark dive in the water. Well, these are deadly, wicked predators in the swamp that hate truth, break all laws of God and man, etc. We saw its tail and fin as it came directly at us. I grabbed Sandy and Dude jumped into my arm. And I said, we got to go right now. The shark got real close to us and I woke up. Well, I'm just going to tell you that the faction have tried to kill Jeff and Sandy because their dreams tell the truth about them. And that's why they're angry with them, and that's why they're hating them. And before them falling into this, of course, they all believed in the dreams because they saw they all came to pass. And they do. It's amazing. So I looked at Sandy and she muttered something like, in Jesus' name. This is, of course, after it woke up. And I looked at the clock and it was 3:13. I went right back to sleep and my dream picked up right where it left off. And as we got to the land, the giant shark came out of the water after us. But out of nowhere, a huge white whale came out of the water and swallowed the black shark. Sandy and I were like, what? That was awesome. Yes, indeed. And it is awesome. And everybody's going to get to see it. It's amazing. God is going to bring many to him with the witness of what's going to happen here. And I believe that the huge white whale represents the huge right wing backed by the saints' prayers and warfare, and it's taking down the dark left wing anarchist faction. Is it not? Yes, it is. The white whale is an air breather, of course, and its spirit is from above the swamp. And I say this because breath and spirit are the same word in many places in the Bible. The white whale is in the swamp hunting down the black swamp creatures. Yes, it's happening. And our prayers and warfare and authority over them is the most valuable. And following that, that is our prayers and faith and warfare, the human right wing resources are fighting. They do things that we can't do because we're restrained by the Word of God as Christians. But a lot of the right wing is not restrained like that. And so God uses them as a vessel that's not quite clean, right? Anyway, the black shark has an anarchist, antichrist breath or spirit, which comes from the pit and the unclean swamp waters, because a shark breathes, gets his breath out of these dirty, unclean waters. And that's why it is an unclean black predator. A couple of days ago, on October the 29th, is when in 539 BC, King Cyrus the Great of Persia conquered the Babylonish swamp. And then he freed God's people from captivity to go to their land and rebuild the kingdom. And of course, the saints of God are not getting the credit from the world nor from the right wing on this, but they are empowering President Trump and those who are working with him to do this. It is the prayers that are ruling in the world. It is the warfare that's ruling in the world, and we need to remember that, you know. And if we don't do it, who will do it? You know, we are the ones who have the faith. We've been given the authority, and we should use it. And that's what's happening, but there's too few people out there doing that. And Jeff went on to say, I received by faith at random, Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 19. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thy house divers measures, a great and a small. Well, we know what this is. This was to lie and cheat and steal from others. Yeah. And it was a way to cheat people in the way that they balanced money in those days. A good description of the works of the factious swamp creatures who have spirits of perversion to twist anything to their advantage or to cover up their sins. As you know, they accuse everybody else of what they are doing. As we can see in the natural world, that's exactly what happens in politics. Everything they have accused the president of, they are doing. And it's the same in the church. Especially when they war against the bride and the man-child. Verse 15, a perfect and just weight shalt thou have, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be long in the land. In other words, you'll be driven from the land. That is the land of promise, the land of milk and honey, right? You'll be driven from anything that will make fruit in you, right? If you don't deal honestly and truthfully, and you slander and you turn things contrary to the commands of the scripture, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things, even all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Well, we can see the abominations. They're very plain to people who don't have the same stupid spirits. They think, oh my gosh, I remember when this was all started, you know, out there in the public. It came, of course, because the media was slandering, and they believed the slander, and demons entered into them, just exactly like what happened with the faction in the church. And people couldn't believe. Even politicians were just awed. Their mouth would be hanging open at the sayings and the stupidity of these people. They just don't understand demons. They don't understand that this is demons doing this. So, verse 17 says, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way as you came forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindermost of thee, all that were feeble behind thee. In other words, the drag-alongs, you know, they're leading up the rear. So, I mean, that you make yourself a victim by doing that, you know. And when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Well, this is another good description of the tactics and works of the factious swamp creatures, whether in the political world or in the Christian world. They are backstabbers, like the Amalekites were, who prey upon the weak and ignorant. James 3:13-18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, he said he took wisdom from the Edomites. Is it perished from Edom? Yes, it is. Yeah, the Edomites, of course, represent those who are in hatred against their brothers, and they're not forgiven, and they've sold their birthright, because you can't be saved or forgiven if you don't forgive, and they don't. They judge everybody. So who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, why does he say this? Well, we know very well why he says this, because all who have the faction demon are liars and slanderers. Verse 15, this wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish, which is from what? Below, right? From below. Jesus said, you are from beneath. I am from above, right? For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. That's right. God knows. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. Well, hypocrisy is major among this sin. It's major. I mean, these people judging everybody for what they are doing. That's hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. So the fruit is given to those who are peaceful, not to those who are wicked and attacking and predators and backstabbers and et cetera, et cetera. No fruit there. First person can't be saved there. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 25 and verse 19. Therefore, it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Notice, the only place to find this rest is in the land of promise, or in the promised land, or the land of milk and honey, right? That's the only place that you'll find this rest from your enemies. And rest, of course, we know what rest is. It's the spiritual Sabbath, the spiritual New Testament Sabbath, where you believe the promise and you rest from your works. You just rest. You don't have to do a thing. It's already been done. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. The works of the flesh are first there, and the works of the Lord in you are second there. So thank you, Lord. And God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget. Well, they will be blotted out from under heaven, says the word of the Lord. And God will use prophetic people to pronounce it and to speak it, and it will come to pass. And it's been spoken. So Jeff said, I woke up to tell Sandy of the dream, and the clock read 3:33. I told David about this, and he said, well, that's Jeremiah 33:3. And Jeff said, totally awesome. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from Satan's attacks and witchcraft. Yes, he has, and yes, he does, and yes, he will. And Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Do you believe he's going to answer you? That's how you get into the rest, you know. It's when you call and you believe he's going to answer. So you can just cease from your works and rest. And will show thee great things and difficult, which thou knowest not. Yes, Lord, that's what we call upon you for. Show us these great things and difficult that we don't know. Thank you, Lord, for giving wisdom to your people to overcome the evil which is in the land, the swamp creatures. And that's pretty interesting, because Claire Pinar sent this in, 10-7, and we called it Swamp Creatures Locked Up for Greed and Murder. Yeah, it's a pretty cute, interesting revelation. I saw a quick vision as I drifted off to sleep, but dismissed it as a pizza vision. And then I was reading Habakkuk and saw it again. Bill Clinton was behind bars, and he was baring his teeth like a leopard or a wildcat. In other words, like a beast. He then stalked around his prison cell cage and said loudly and angrily and accusatory, you see, Hillary, you were too greedy. And then she puts Jezebel and Ahab. Yep, absolutely. Except they weren't that good. And Claire said, I went up closer to see him and came up to the bars, and he snarled at me, and his teeth looked like vampire teeth. And she put, representing sucking the blood of innocent victims. Yes, and in many cases it was the most helpless innocent victims. You know, adrenochrome is the most expensive drug of the swamp creatures, and it's taken from the adrenal gland of a baby or a child who has just been frightened. In other words, they are frightened and then they're killed, or their adrenal in this case, adrenochrome. They have murdered all who stand in their way and millions of babies. There's been a harvest of babies throughout the world. The Chinese are number one at doing this with their one-child program. Any other person that had a child, they took them from them and used them for making money in this way, harvesting them. And the underground cities have been full of these children, and they're still fighting a battle in these underground cities to find these children and get them out. And in many cases, they're already dead and sometimes mutilated. I asked God for a word by faith at random and received. 1 Corinthians 8, 5 and 6. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, there are gods many. You know, demons impersonate God. But you can identify them because they do not obey his word. Of course, the true God will impress people to obey his word. If he's present, he's in them, he will obey the word. If it's demons in them, they will not obey the word. And they will just, your words of correction from the word just go in one ear and out the other one. Literally. 1 Corinthians 10 and 20 says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that you should have communion with demons. And the text that he gave goes on to say, and there are lords many, yet to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we unto him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and we through him. Amen. If God is your God, the true God is your God, and you don't have these idols that are demons, you will obey him. People who have idols sin. They rebel against God every time. And you can get rid of these. It's a matter of deliverance. It's a matter of making choices, of casting down vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. For the sake of advantage, people follow after these lures, right? I received the vision as I was making notes of Habakkuk and saw this. And the text she gives is Habakkuk 2, 18 and 19. And she said, as we saw, their idols are demons, which they worship along with Satan. Yes, the people are Satanists in the upper echelons of the deep state and even lower echelons of the deep state. They're witches and Satanists. And the parallel is perfect there too, because the people who worship these demons in the church follow after witchcraft prayers, curses on people, etc., etc. And it of course fails because the righteous know how to cast those down. But they are worshiping Satan just as the people in the political world are. And all, you know, there are a lot of this is going to come out in the Ides of March. That's what they're saying, is they're going to start revealing everything. Now they're leaking out things in the political world, one right after another, but they're going to tell the whole story from what they're saying in March. It's all been part of the plan. Well, Habakkuk 2, 18 and 19, as we were talking about idols that are demons, here she says, what profiteth the graven image, and that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, even the teacher of lies, that he that fashions its form trusteth therein. See, that's the thing about those that worship demons. They believe a lie. And that's how they're captured. They believe a lie because it seems to suit their purpose. It seems to bless their flesh. It seems to cause them to not have to live the crucified life, which is obey the word and watch the old man die, right? The molten image, even the teacher of lies, that he that fashioneth its form trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise. Shall this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there's no breath at all in the midst of it. So selfish ambition, right, is what leads people astray. All right, I'm going to share a revelation here to you, Michael Hare got on 10/21 of this year. And Michael was in a house with a tall, skinny, old man and a young girl. And I have the advantage, of course, of who have studied this whole revelation here. And the old man is skinny and malnourished with the word. And the old man was not threatening, he said, but the young girl I knew to be a threat, spiritually speaking. There was a threatening in the air that I discerned, and I knew it came from the little girl. Yes, well, why does he liken the dangerous one to the little girl or the young girl? Because she represents their leader, who is typed here as unable to receive the seed of the word and to bear fruit. Little girls do that. They're not to be sowing seed either. They're to be receiving seed only when they mature, right? So the spiritual type here is clear from the scriptures, Isaiah 3 and 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they that lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Well, we have to be on the path of the highway of holiness to Zion. And the only way you can be on that path is faith in the word and the highway of holiness is separation. Holiness meaning the same as sanctification, same word, which means separation from that which is worldly, that which is sinful, that which is unclean, so on and so forth. And of course, you can study the person's life and tell if they're on that path or if they're on the path that leads to damnation. I thought about it for a moment, and then I believe the Lord told me to bind the spirits. Mm-hmm. So I started binding them all over the place. I bind you in the name of Jesus, Michael said. I bind you over there in the name of Jesus. I bind you back there in the name of Jesus. I bind you up there in the name of Jesus. And this went on until I felt a peace. And that's where the end of the dream came. So look what the Lord is demonstrating here, folks. The wicked, you know, and their witchcraft and their curses and all the things that they do normally. And of course, they put God's name on it, but it's not God because they're disobedient. It's demons. Bind it. Bind it in the name of Jesus. You don't have to fear it. You have authority over all of it. You don't ever have to fear anything the enemy does. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Right? So Begin to claim that. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, right? And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You have the authority. So anyway, Michael said, praise the Lord for his promises. Yes, yes, they are the way to the rest and the peace, even while the enemy is out there throwing their curses and shooting their arrows from darkness and so on. And of course, he gives Matthew 18 and 18. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So what things soever covers everything, doesn't it? Yes, it does. So what's the moral of this story? Well, obviously, saints, you need to do your job because nobody else can do this. It has to be done. Luke 9 and 1 says, and he called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons. What does all leave out? Nothing. Gave them power and authority. Authority is better than power. Power is the ability of to overcome an enemy. But authority is the right to use power. Okay, so we have a right to use the power of God. We have a right to use the power of the demons. That's right, because we are over them. Notice what he said, gave them power and authority over all demons. Yes. Remember Ahab, who the demons came in and divided. They were sent in the midst, right? A spirit was a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he went up to Ramoth Gilead, and a guy just shot an arrow in the air in his simplicity, and it went right through the joints of his armor. What's the chances? You know. So there you have it. And Luke 10 and 19, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Now you need to believe this part about nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Some people get anxious when something strange and negative happens around them. But, you know, these are all things that come from the devil and from the devil's people. And we can, of course, you know, cast them down, deny them, bind them, whatever. So this was a word given from God to Michael, I'm quite sure. So the answer, of course, is bind them. Don't worry. Don't fear. Don't cause your actions to change. Have no fear. Bind the demons. Forbid them to do what you don't want them to do. The Lord has given you this authority. Praise be to God. We need to exercise it. And this is another one given to Claire and R in 10:30. We called it, forgive everything to see the glory of God. And forgive everything to even see God. And if you don't forgive, you will not see God. It's very simple. I saw Rian, and he was premeditating an affair with someone. In fact, he was already in it. And I saw him planning the next date. And as I felt the hurt in me swell up and my heart begin to break, I heard the Lord's voice, judge not and forgive so that you will be forgiven. Wow. Well, let me point something out to you here. They don't have this kind of a problem, as they said. But this was a demonstration. This is meant to be an extreme example of betrayal. You know what betrayal feels like, right? And this was meant to be an extreme example of betrayal, which must be forgiven. So we know that every lesser betrayal must be forgiven, right? If it's this great and you have to forgive it, as the Lord said, judge not and forgive so that you will be forgiven. What rights do you have to the kingdom if you're not forgiven? None. None. And why are you doing it without? Could it be because of unforgiveness? You know, even these beasts, even these swamp creatures, you have to forgive them. There is, of course, a legal unforgiveness in the kingdom. And it was given to leadership to not forgive someone and let them back in the body to continue doing their sin, to bring corruption, to bring division, to bring all these things. Yeah, you don't forgive that person. And as a matter of fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 turned people over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that their spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. And he said, put forth the old leaven from among you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So they weren't forgiven. That was a kind of forgiveness that God gives to leadership in particular. Now, other kinds of forgiveness, a personal forgiveness, we always have to give, always. But this kind of forgiveness, we don't forgive unless God forgives. If thy brother sin, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. That's this kind of authoritarian forgiveness. So you don't forgive someone so they can come in and destroy people. Anyway, Claire went on to say, Rion and I don't have this problem at all. So I believe it's a warning to forgive no matter what. Incidentally, I made a decision early in our marriage that if Rion ever did fall into this temptation, I would forgive and stay with him and rebuild a happy marriage. Because I love God and I made a vow. Okay. As I chose to forgive, I was transported to the throne room. Oh, it was so bright, and I heard great thunder and saw electricity in the sky overhead. I could not stay there, so I woke up. And I received Luke 19 and 19 for this dream. And he said unto him also, be thou also over five cities. Well, 19 represents faith. So I believe that the Lord is telling the saints in this dream to forgive and forsake everything so that they may be redeemed by our faith. And also that faith is our fruit. And what accounts us righteousness. That's right. So in this parable, we must bear the fruit of obedience to God's word in order to enter his kingdom. Luke 19, 12 through 27 says this. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now we know that was Jesus. He did just that. He went to rule over God's kingdom, to sit upon the throne of David, etc., etc. And then to return. And he called 10 servants of his and gave them 10 pounds and said unto them, trade ye herewith until I come. But his citizens hated him. Well, notice he's not talking about the world. He's talking about the people of God here. He gave them a gift to give and to use to multiply, so to speak. His citizens hated him. Hasn't it been that way? Have you ever read the Bible? Yes, the people who are called the people of God hate him when he comes against their fleshly wishes and their lustful desires. And they sent an ambassage after him, saying, "We will not that this man reign over us." Oh my goodness, well, so sorry. This is the one that the Father has chosen to reign. He is the stone which the builders rejected. And he has become the head. So this guy that you don't want to rule over you is your head now. Uh-oh. And it came to pass, when he was come back again, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants, unto whom he had given the money, to be called unto him, that he might know what they had gained by trading. And the first came before him, saying, "Lord, thy pound hath made 10 pounds more." And he said unto him, "Well done, thou good servant, because thou wast found faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. So since he brought forth fruit of what was given him, he was considered a good servant. And we'll notice here that the reward is to those who bear the fruit of obedience to God's word. And the second came, saying, "Thy pound, Lord, hath made 5 pounds. And he said unto him also, "Thou also art over 5 cities. And another came, saying, "Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and thou takest up that which thou layest not down." Uh-oh. "And reapest that which thou didst not sow." Why did he say the Lord didn't sow? He acts like he doesn't understand that the Lord did sow. He put it in his hand to sow. That was his job to do. And it wasn't what he did not lay down. He did lay it down. In other words, he thought the money was his and not the Lord's, who gives it to us to invest in the kingdom. And of course, it can just be a talent, as in the other parable like this, a talent, which is also money, but it also tells us that God has given us things that are valuable in the kingdom. And he expects us to invest it for him in this world to bring forth fruit. And this guy saved it up, contrary to Jesus' command. And he lost it all. He stored up his treasure on earth, contrary to the command of Jesus. And he lost it all. Jesus said, "Moth and rust and thieves will break through and steal if you just store it up for your future. Put your trust in it as a God to save you in your future," right? He wants us to walk by faith. It's his. It's not yours. We are just stewards. We are not owners in the New Testament. Jesus said, if you don't renounce everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. You have to renounce ownership of everything. It's the Lord. He'll tell you what to do with it. And if you're under the law of the tithe, which is not New Testament at all, then you can't hear the Lord. You're under the law. Then you can't bear fruit. Verse 22, he saith unto him, "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant." So here's a guy brought back the talent that the Lord gave him, but he had no fruit, and he was a wicked servant. And I can tell you, there's an awful lot of Christians, they're worse off now than when they first started with God. It's not a matter of them having what was given to them. They don't even have that anymore. Have you noticed that? Thou knewest that I am an austere man. In other words, in your knowledge, you thought that I am an austere man, expecting that my words, my commands would come to pass, or should come to pass. And that's called an austere man? I don't think so. Taking up that which I laid not down? Well, he did lay it down, put it in his hand, and trusted him to go and bear fruit with it. Reaping that which I did not sow? You know, I think the Lord had a question of unbelief here. What do you mean I didn't sow and I didn't lay it down? If you have anything, it came from God. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. Everything he has put in your hands is there to bear fruit in the kingdom. Not for you to hoard up and while people around you are in need. Because the foolishness of it is, if you give, it will be given unto you. Good measure shaken down and running over shall men give unto your bosom. That's the foolishness of it. Store it up, you get nothing. Give it, it gets multiplied. It's very simple. Now, it's even worse than that. There are thieves out there. Not only will they not give of what God's put in their hand, they will steal it from others. They will rob God's children. That's the faction. Then, wherefore gavest thou not my money into the bank, and I at my coming should have required it with interest? And he said unto them that stood by, take away from him the pound, and give it unto him that hath the 10 pounds. Now, in the other parable, it was, hey, Lord, as they said here in verse 25 also, they said, Lord, he had 10 pounds. Why don't you give it to the guy with the pie? He has an answer for that. Well, first of all, this guy stored up his treasures on earth where moth and rust and thieves break through and steal. He was commanded not to do that. The Lord, it was not his money, it was the Lord's. Okay. So they said, but Lord, he has 10 pounds. And he said, I say unto you, that unto everyone that hath, which is what? He came looking for fruit of what he laid down. Unto everyone that hath, fruit that is, shall be given. But from him that hath not fruit, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. So this guy didn't have any fruit from what God put into his hand, which could be any and all things, because a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. So, but these, now listen to this, but these mine enemies that would not that I should reign over them. Now how did he know that? Well, this guy did not obey his leadership. He did not submit to his commands. He did not want the Lord to rule over him. It's very obvious. When you rebel against God's commands, it's because you don't want the Lord to reign over you. So what was God's solution? Well, we don't want to pollute heaven with people like this. Bring him hither and slay them before me. Oh my. And that was Jesus. So those who do not submit to the Lord, who is the Word, he's the Word made flesh. If you do not submit to the Word, you do not submit to the Lord. And this should identify for you who you're following, a bunch of demons. Or are you following the Lord, right? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, don't do what I say. That's clear. So those who do not submit to the Lord, who is the Word, and bear his fruit, will have an eternal death. It's very plain from what he said right there. So, here's another revelation from Claire, and we called it the love of money, the root of evil. Yes, she got this on 10:30. And this is an important principle for this particular time, because I believe God is going to abundantly supply the needs of his people. And some people are just planning on just holding on to it and storing up their treasures, and they're not planning on taking care of the people around them. And of course, this is going to be bad for them. So anyway, she said the next dream, which is the same night, Rion and I were on a rooftop in Sandton, which is the financial capital of South Africa. The top of the building represents the top of people's arrogance. So they were on the rooftop of Sandton. And I would say it's also the top of people's greed. You know, just like the Tower of Babylon. I remember the testimony of Howard Pittman, how he died and went to heaven. And he saw the spirit of greed, who looked like a fat businessman in a suit. Yeah. And he was shown the future destruction that these people would bring, which we can see is happening now very clearly. Isn't it interesting? 1 Timothy 6, 5 through 10 speaks about the wranglings of men corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth. Yes, corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth. They don't have any truth. They lost it. Supposing that godliness is a way of gain. Wow, some people do make godliness a way of gain. They obviously use their profession. To them, it's like a profession in order to gain. And gaining is very important to them because they don't freely give, as Jesus said. And you can tell that they're just merchants of Babylon. That's all they are. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. But having food and covering, we shall be therewith content. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare. He didn't say they might, he said they do. They that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts. Yes, I got to tell you, there's an awful lot of people, even God's people, who cannot handle money. They cannot handle it. It would destroy them. And the facts are what they are. It's absolutely proven. You know, the people that get these great sums of money one way or another, it just destroys them and their families. So it's a temptation. It's a great temptation. First of all, you're not restrained from any sin with that much money. And you're tempted not to trust the Lord and walk by faith. You're tempted to use your money. Save yourself with your money. Money will buy everything, right? Of course, God, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God, so they're not pleasing unto God. So it is a temptation. And by the way, it's going to bring a stumbling block to a lot of people who consider themselves Christians. and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. Many foolish and hurtful lusts. That's what you're asking for. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Notice he did not say what some people say, that money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's just a medium of exchange. But the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith. There it is, exactly what I said. You got money, you don't need faith, right? But the righteous shall live from faith. Therefore, money can be a destruction. It's only good for one thing, spending, giving, meeting needs around you. God is giving this gift for that purpose. And have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. So, we were meeting with Linda's friends who were supposedly, quote, investors, unquote. So investing in the world, right, to make more money. I want to be rich. I remember a young man telling me that years ago. I want to be rich so I can help God's people. I said, well, if you're not all there, you'll get rich, but you won't help God's people. And they would make our money grow. So these investors want your money to make it grow. Linda is a worldly friend of my younger years. Her name means serpent in Old German or clean in Italian. Her name could represent those currently ruled by the world, but are actually part of God's called out ones. They spoke with thick accents, and one's name was Boris. Now, these are fictitious, as I don't know people like these friends in real life. Well, Boris sounds like Russian, right? The Russian mafia is full of con men and is active in the United States, and they're known for their violence. And she went on to say, we put in $144,000 and went to eat breakfast with them in the next door building. But we had to cross a river to get there. So what's the moral of this story? Well, don't gamble away your place or be in to be in the 144,000 man child body. So they gambled 144,000, and as we're going to see, they lost it because these people wanted to help them invest. So who got the money? Yeah, the con men. Right? When we crossed the river, I saw my children in a little Asian Chinese boat in the river. Well, what I see is foolish investments in the world system could blow the kingdom investments for the future of our children. China is heavily invested in the deep state, and the communists overthrowing America are working with people who started out just greedy, but now are actually traitors of the United States. And they're telling me that armies of Chinese are in Canada waiting to see who's going to win this election. Only through investing our time, our love, our money in the kingdom are we ensuring their future. The children are sanctified in the believing parents, 1 Corinthians 7 says, right? So walking as a believer ensures that your children have a spiritual future. They're sanctified in the believing parents. So people who get their hands on money can have a problem with greed. Instead of investing their money in the kingdom, they invest it in the world. I kept an eye on them all the time. And if it wasn't for the threatening looks from the scary Russian, I would have gone directly to the children. He's obviously trying to separate her from her children or her fruit, this con man. And this is pretty clear that the choice to run after money will cost us our children in the natural and our fruit in the spiritual, because they are our fruit, right? Money is only good for spending. And God teaches us that he wants equality. When we have money in our hands, he desires equality, meaning sharing to ensure everyone's needs are met. 2 Corinthians 8 and 14 and 15 says, "But by equality, your abundance being a supply at this present time," at this present time, "for their want, that their abundance also may become a supply for your want, that there may be equality." God wants equality. He wants everybody's needs met. He doesn't want everybody driving a Chevrolet. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about everybody having their needs met. Right? That there might be equality. Verse 15, as it is written, "He that gathered much had nothing over." Do you understand that? First of all, you're not an owner. You're just a steward. If you don't renounce everything you have, you cannot be my disciple, Jesus said. So therefore, in the New Testament, you're just a steward. You're handling it for your master. "He that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack." Why? Because those that gathered much met their needs. This is an eternal reward for doing this. There's no reward for storing up your treasures on earth. As a matter of fact, you're like the guy that hid his talent in the earth. Hid his pound in the earth, right? He lost it and he lost the kingdom. That seems like a pretty strict thing for the Lord to say, but he must have meant it. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10 says, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." There you go. If a person sows a lot, they will receive a lot, but they don't receive a lot to keep it. They still have more to sow this time. That's all. And he says, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully, so that you can what? Help more people. Help more people. Amen. "Let each man do according as he hath purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity." Now, that's not the law, folks. The law is necessity. And the preachers who preach the law and bring your tithes into the storehouse, and we are the storehouse, of course, you know, they're preaching necessity. But God says no, no. He's obviously testing us to see if we'll do it from a good heart, not grudgingly or necessity. "For God loveth a cheerful giver." In other words, he loves people who love to give, love to meet people's needs, right? And God is able to make all, oh gosh, listen at this promise. It's one of the greatest promises in the Bible. And it's all geared to one thing, a giving, meeting needs, right? God is able to make all grace abound unto you. All grace, that's a lot. Abound unto you. That ye, having always all sufficiency in everything, there, this promise goes on and on and on, may abound unto every good work. Oh, praise be to God. As it is written, he that scattered abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness abideth forever. Wow, look at that. Righteousness abideth forever. God considers this a righteous person. And he that supplieth seed to the sower, notice, he's not giving the seed for you to sit on or to gather in your granary. You know, it's to sow it. If he's giving it to you, like in the parable, he is giving it to you to sow. For the kingdom, for him, right? It's his. He can do that. And he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing. If it gets multiplied, it's still not yours. That's what the tithers thinks. 90% is theirs and 10% is God's. No, it's 100% God, even when it's multiplied back, because he says he multiplies your seed for sowing. He just wants you to be a channel through whom it can flow. And make sure you ask the Lord, because it does not belong to you. Make sure you're in his will. Make sure you're not gambling with his money. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. Notice, increase the fruits. There it is. Increase the fruits of your righteousness. So since they didn't gamble it away, they had it to sow in the kingdom. And God said, since you're doing that, he will increase your fruit. So now you see why this what this parable is talking about when it talks about children, because they're your fruit. The Russians promised me I'd see my children when I went up to the rooftop of this next building. Well, again, that's up there, you know, where the prideful and the rich and the famous are and so on and so forth. We walked faster, got there, and then they served us breakfast. I just wanted my children. She just wanted her fruit, right? She didn't want to lose her fruit. They told us that the deal had gone sour, of course, and that we'd lost all of our money. And then, of course, they give you those threatening looks, so you're afraid of them. Do anything about the money. See, these are the con men. These are the thieves. These are the liars. They're out there waiting. They're predatory. So the con worked. And as it will for many. Then I took my children and left. Finally figured out I'm not going to gamble my children any longer. Took her fruit and went. During this whole fiasco from one building to the other, I kept on thinking, we have no money, so why am I here? We are not in Babylon, she said. She said, I think this dream is not specifically a warning for me or Rian, but rather a warning for the corporate body and some of the members who are still not out. In other words, come out from among them, right? Yeah. They followed us and put us in a white van, and we stopped at a traffic light in a suburban area. There, these dark-skinned men, dressed in traditional slash witchcraft attire, smashed the window, took my phone, and ran with it. So they weren't happy with just stealing their money. They wanted to continue. And the faction's that way. They're not happy with stealing money. They want to continue to take away your communication. The head swamp creatures will try to destroy your communications and ability to get the gospel out, proving their demon possession. But they can't stop it. She went on to say they were violent, small, and chanting. They were conjuring with sticks, and their eyes were super white and rolled back in their heads. I ran after them saying, "Don't do that. I need that." And they acted like primates rather than humans. Well, that's the stupid demons. They're in control. I went back to the car, and there was another huge dark-skinned man, in other words, a man walking in darkness, right, with a gold tooth standing over the car where my children were. And I told him, "You can have anything, just don't hurt my children." In other words, my fruit is most precious to me. Right? He just grunted. I believe these demons are trying to attack the communication channels between the saints and steal our fruit of faith. Well, of course they are. Yeah. We must wage war against them in the spirit with the weapons that we've been given, which is the authority that are in the promises of the Word of God, right? Yes, indeed. We've been given authority. And that's something that we've been given that has to bear fruit too. Everything that we've been given has to bear fruit. And that has to bear fruit too. God tells you, He gives you authority over all the power of the enemy, then you must exercise it. And you must believe what He says and exercise it. Now, there's a very large portion of Christianity that don't believe they have any authority because all that passed away with the apostles, right? But, of course, they can't find a word that says that. So they're thieves because they're stealing from God's people. And they've got blood on their hands because God's people are dying for the lack of understanding that they have authority over the devil and over the curse. So these thieves are destroying God's people. Now, you want to know why this judgment is now coming against these thieves? There it is. I took my children and ran back to the city where I saw Linda, the one who led them into this. I told her, "They're coming for Noah." In other words, they want to drag us from the ark. Right? Yes, there is a place of safety in God, and it's obedience to Him through faith. Yeah. "Don't you care? You have to leave the city." And she was so angry with me. She was so nasty and told me I am said to me that I am a stupid Christian. And I said to her, "Please, for your child, leave." Well, if we value our fruit, we will forsake the lusts of the flesh. And also, in the natural, all who fall into this cult lose their children to every form of sin. Because the children are sanctified in the believing parent, according to 1 Corinthians 7. Those who walk by faith cease from their own works, right? and she would not. There was a really friendly salesman at the elevator we were going to get on. Here's somebody else going to take advantage, right? And he said to Linda, "Your friend is right, but don't listen to her. We should talk more about that deal. Let me get my hand in your pocketbook," right? So Satan lures people with the prospect of gain. He lures them with a spirit of greed and selfish ambition and lusts of the flesh. He lures them. And quite often he wins. You know, God puts up with all these temptations. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil because he had to be an overcomer to be able to do the ministry that he had. And of course, the Lord tests everybody else this way too. Oh, you are ready? Do you know you're ready? Could you stand up under temptation? Could you stand up over a bunch of money in your hand? Because you get lots of temptation, but you got a lot of money. You can do what you want to do instead of do what Jesus tells you to do, which is what the guy did when he buried his in the earth, right? Anything, any gift from God, talent, if you will, from God, he gave that to you to bear fruit with. If you're not going to bear fruit with it, you're in disobedience. You're in rebellion against him. You're saying, "I don't want him to rule over me." And that's when I woke up, she said. And I received Acts 7 and 40 for this dream by faith at random. Quote, "Saying unto Aaron, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, who led us forth out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him." Okay, but Moses was leading them out of Egypt, and they wanted somebody to lead them to Egypt. Right. Make us gods that will go before us. And that's what they wanted them to do, is to lead them back to Egypt by the flesh pots. They wanted to live after the lusts of their flesh. There's plenty of people out there to lead you back to Egypt. Some of them are behind pulpits, and they'll lead you back to Egypt. Aaron made the major mistake here of helping them go back to Egypt, giving them a God that would lead them back to Egypt. What is it about the wilderness that people hate? They don't see any visible means of support. They're not counting on the invisible means of support that they have of God's promises. They're walking by sight. And the righteous shall live from faith. And faith calls the things that be not as though they were. In other words, they're done. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, right? So, the righteous man, Moses, was leading them into a wilderness with no visible means of support. And yet he promised them every support. I mean, he brought the quail out of heaven. He brought the water out of the rock. You know, God can provide for you anywhere. He can meet your needs anywhere. I've shared with you how the one time my family and I sat down at the table, my wife and I and our five kids sat down at the table, and we had nothing to put on our plates. And I prayed the prayer that came to my mind immediately. It just popped in my mind. I says, "Okay, Lord, you sent us here, and we're asking you to fill our plates or fill our tummies And all of my kids started getting up from the table. Dad, I'm not hungry. I'm full. I'm full. And I was so awed listening to them, I didn't realize I was full too. God, you can't get anywhere where God can't supply. How do you get water out of a rock, for goodness sake? You know? Yeah. Go throw in your hook and pay your taxes, right? Pull that fish up and open his mouth, and there's your money. How did God know that was there? He put it there, right? Anybody that's going to obey that and go and do it, they probably believe it. And of course, it worked by the grace of God. So, the Lord wants us in the wilderness. And the wilderness isn't a place where you bring your provision with you. What, I think this is a very timely message right now, because God keeps telling us he's coming with provision. And the message is make sure you make sure everybody around you in need is taken care of. Right? Especially if they're the people of God. You say, well, they don't deserve it. No, you don't either. Well, they're sinners. Yeah, well, have you? And on and on, you know, but the Lord still says, you know, he lets his sun to shine on everybody. So he shows his grace to everybody. And she said, this is quite a strong warning to any of God's chosen who are still in bondage to worldly lusts. Yes, I agree. Get out. Get out of China and Russia. Get out of idolatry. Yes. Even to your phone or your communication devices. Yes, some people are very much in bondage to their phone, their computer, whatever, and not sowing the seed of the kingdom and not seeking to bring forth fruit of what God has put in their hands. And we know that God's word is more important than politics, but a lot of people are totally caught up in politics right now. And they're letting their spirit man get weak. They're losing their fruit because they're only studying politics right now. We've been exhorted not to do that. And we shared with you what the Lord's given us about that. So be sure that you give to God the first fruits of everything that he puts in your life. And she goes on to say, otherwise your fruit will be held as ransom, or worse yet, will be taken away from you. Yes, that's true. We've seen people that lost their fruit, all of it. All of it. Spiritually, flee the cities, and if possible, flee physically. I've been saying that for a long time. You know. Get away from the cities. They're sin cities in the first place. You put too many people in one place at a time, you're going to have trouble. Where are they choosing, by the way, to have their riots? Well, they want to be recognized, so they go to the big cities. And of course, they have to go to the leftist cities, or else they would get prosecuted and the law would come after them and all that. So they go and burn down their own cities. That's the stupid demons. They burn down their own cities. And their government, you know, wants them to do it because they think this is the way to get votes. Well, this is the way to show people that Trump is the wrong one, right? Well, I know that they are stuffing ballot boxes everywhere. And they're getting caught. I know that even postmen are throwing away ballots that are obviously on the outside marked for, Trump. They shouldn't do that, but they've done it so that you would know how to get rid of those ballots. That's wrong. And anyway, mail-in ballots is wrong anyway, So, and I agree 100%, people need to get out of the cities. That's where a lot of the trouble is going to come, in the cities. It's a whole lot harder to even catch things, plagues and whatever, outside of cities, because you're just not around that many people. And so there's just all kinds of things. I mean, come out from among them, I believe, is one of God's commands. That's what, church means. It's the come outers and the called out ones. And so God wants us to come out from among them and be separate and to bear fruit and not to gamble our fruit away by the lusts of the flesh. Many people are doing that. There is a great falling away. Among the people of God. And they don't know if they read the scriptures that they will be blessed with faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. They will be blessed with faith to be able to do some of these things that are wilderness type experiences. Who would leave a place where you have all provision, but you're under the bondage of the old man, the Egyptian, and go out into a wilderness where there's no visible means of support? Millions of people. But yet God did. He did provide for them in the wilderness. We're coming to the end of a 40-day fast, liquid only fast, and it's just amazing to me how I lose weight on a liquid only fast. I've gone a couple of weeks fasting before with no food or no water, and of course they'll tell you you're going to die if you do that. You can't go more than 5 days or something like that. Without water, you'll die, But that's crazy. It's just crazy stuff. These are people who don't know what they're talking about, And 40 days, without solid food is, an experience, but it's been a good one. And of course, we're using this to pray, to bring God's kingdom, to deliver God's people from bondage, to bring justice, all of the things that we're praying for, and fasting is a powerful method of bringing these things to pass. And Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast, right? Well, Father, we thank you for doing abundantly above all we can ask or think. We ask you, Lord, because of what we just got through talking about here in this great temptation, that you will give grace to your people in these days to be able to be good stewards of what you put in their hands in order to meet the needs of our brethren. Because there is much need out there. There is a redistribution of wealth in the process of happening. And God is going to provide for his people. As you know, when the people of God were going into the wilderness, the Egyptians gave them gold and silver. And, they plundered Egypt. And that's exactly what's going to happen this time. They've gone into those underground cities and found gold and silver by tons. They found that the Vatican had agreed with the deep state in order to steal tons of gold and silver from the people. They found that the Queen of England was in on it too. They've recovered and repatriated all of this, and they want to pay back the people. And the taxes were totally illegal, and so they want to pay that back too. And so you see, God is going to do something, even though his people ignore his words. He's going to do something, and then it will be their responsibility. Right? Well, Father, we're asking you to empower, give grace to your children. To be able to handle the situation and to enjoy giving and meeting needs around them. Enjoy it. And, well, Lord, you can't outgive God. That's why he said, if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. You can't outgive God. And when he gives you, when he multiplies your seed for sowing, you're able to do more and more and more, be a channel and a blessing for God's people. And that's not just money, that's every all of your gift, everything that God has given to you, everything he's put in your hand to be a blessing to his people, you know. Give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall they give into your bosom. He didn't say just money there, right? No, it's everything. Some people don't grow in the fruit of their giving of whatever talent that they have. They don't grow in it because they're not giving it and expecting the Lord to multiply it back for sowing, for sowing. Lord, we put our trust in you, Lord. We know that your provision is your physical provision is given, and you can also give grace to your people to handle things like that in a way that's pleasing unto you. And to bear fruit and to be very happy about that fruit in Jesus' name. And Lord, as far as the swamp is concerned, we pray to you constantly to drain the swamp. And we know that's happening. Some people are not in the know about these things, but we know it's happening. And we thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a demonstration of to the earth. And they will know if Satan is real, God is real. If there are people out there that are as wicked as these are, God is real. And we must find God. And Lord, we ask you to bring about this great revival that you have promised unto us, Lord. This awesome and powerful revival that's coming after a chastening from the deep state and people coming out of bondage to be free to follow you, as we saw in the scriptures, some want to go back. They hate the prospect of having to trust God and walk by faith. They instead fall into fear and they want to go back by the flesh pots where they know they got a guaranteed income. Even if it's in slavery, they'd rather slavery to the old man than the blessings of God coming out of heaven, right? Oh my. Well, God. It's because these people haven't been fed the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you that you're enabling us to put together provision in the storehouses to feed the people of God. And the wicked hate it. They hate it. They work feverishly to try to stop it because Satan doesn't want us destroying his kingdom. You know, it's a really good feeling to know that Satan hates you that much. I believe people are known by their enemies. You know, these very, very wicked enemies don't go after people that are helping Satan. They're going after people that are destroying his kingdom. And that's a good feeling to know that the enemy hates you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. We know he's right. And Father, we thank you that we can be among the hated. It's good, Lord. It's good because when you see the wicked and you know that they hate you because you're doing what God's called you to do, that's a good feeling. You know, beware if any, the people love you, Jesus said, you know, beware, you know, because you're not obviously doing something right. If you go through the scriptures, the prophets, the people who spoke the word of God, the truth, they were hated. They were hated by kings. They were hated by false prophets. They were hated by the people because they were expected to go against their flesh. And so it is today. Father, we thank you for giving grace. Lord, you made reconciliation, which is an exchange of your life for ours. Lord, you took our failures, you took our sins, you took our fallen nature, and you nailed them on that cross, and you gave us the life of Christ. And now we lack nothing. Lord, you said that the bride in Song of Solomon, or the bride in Esther, was given everything she needed to go to the king's house. Everything she needed. And she depended upon a eunuch that I believe represents the Holy Spirit. She depended upon the wisdom of that person as to what the king liked in his women folk. So, and she depended upon that, and she received everything in that manner. And so she was chosen. And so it is now. And so it's about to be. You know, that those who do what the Lord loves are going to be chosen. And he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So that's number one. And he said that in so many ways, over and over and over. If you love me, keep my commandments. And whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. So, Father, we realize that we make our own future according to your word of the sowing and reaping. We make our own future, and it behooves us to get into the word and be empowered by the word of God and the nature of Jesus Christ, which we see has been given unto us, so that we lack in nothing that we need in the kingdom. Nothing. It's all there for us. You tell us, Lord, to keep your Sabbaths, which we understand in the New Testament is not physical but spiritual. It's not a rest for a day. It's a rest every day from doing our own will, finding our own work, the things that we desire to do. We thank you, Lord, for working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, because that's what you accomplished on the cross. You gave us the life of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus, the fruit of Jesus, the love of Jesus. You gave us the power of Jesus, the anointing of Jesus. You gave us everything that Jesus is. And the Bible says, as he is, even so are we in this world. God has given us everything that Jesus is. We cannot claim that God hasn't provided us with everything. We must claim that He has provided us with everything. My God shall supply your every need, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You don't have a need. Because He said, be anxious for nothing. Just let your prayers and requests be known unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus, right? Be anxious for nothing. Just let your prayers and requests be known unto God and thank Him for it. That's faith. Lord, you are so awesome. Lord, you have blessed your people mightily with everything at the cross, and they don't know it yet. They don't know the great value of what you've provided at the cross. And how that when they come to you with any lack or any need, you've already answered it. You did it at the cross. You've already answered it. My God shall supply your every need according to His riches. He will supply your every need. Oh, glory be to God. Lord, help us to forsake the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life, Lord. So many people want these things in order to be respected. But what can we carry away with us from this life, Lord? Nothing. What we need is the real valuable things of the kingdom, because they determine what the rest of our eternal life is going to look like. Amen. Contrary to the people that say all of your rewards are the same and everybody gets the same reward. And what foolishness is this? It's not in the Bible anywhere. It's foolishness. No, what we do here is our acts of righteousness, which give us the white robe or the glowing white robe of the bride. And that is a privilege, a great privilege. It comes with higher honors, higher provision, higher beauty, and a closer place to Jesus in the sweet by and by. All those benefits are mentioned in the scriptures. Why did He take it away and give it to the one that had 10? They all questioned that. Because to him that hath shall more be given. So the more fruit you have of the situations you've gone through here on this earth, you bear the fruit of Jesus, the more you have, the more you're going to get. He will multiply your seed for sowing. Glory be to God. God is so awesome. He has provided everything for us in Jesus Christ and at the cross. He is so awesome. All we have to do is what Jesus said. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So there's a provision right there. A provision that covers everything. Everything. What an awesome provision God has put into our hands. It covers everything. And all things whatsoever, which is what? Everything, all things whatsoever. How awesome. This great provision that the Lord has given to His people. We have so much to be grateful for. So much to thank God for. There's just gold in God's word. Mighty provision in God's word. Deliverance from everything in God's word. God, we ask you, Lord, to draw us into your word. Give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for the fruit of Jesus living in us. Jesus shared this word with us so that we may bear the fruit that comes from him. It is the seed of the kingdom. He said he sows his seed in our hearts so that it brings forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And the seed is the word. And we have to cooperate for him to sow his seed in our hearts, because there's so many other things to do out there, Lord, that please the flesh. But we can, by the grace of God, have his desire and love for the Father. And all we have to do is ask him for that. We want the desires of the Father in our heart. We want the love of Jesus in order to keep his commandments. And all we got to do is ask the Lord, because he's already made provision for that. Because an exchange was made, a reconciliation, which means an exchange. An exchange was made to give us all of what Jesus is. His height, his breadth, his depth, and to know the love of Christ, that we may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Such powerful, powerful words like that that get ignored. That we may be filled unto all the fullness of God and all the measure of Christ. So, Lord, we ask that we meditate on these words until they become real to us, and we ask you to make them real to us, Lord. Father, draw us unto yourself. Fill us with the faith of Jesus, the righteousness and purity of Jesus. Keep us, Lord, on the highway to Zion, Lord, to the bride. Keep us, Lord, keep us on that highway. Keep us in faith on that highway, Lord. Everything you said we could ask, as long as we believed we received, we could ask it. So all things whatsoever we pray and ask for, we do believe we received them, Lord. And we will confess them, Lord, as ours. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. Paul's good confession in the sight of many witnesses. We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. And we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, I'm not going to look in the mirror and see me. I'm going to look in the mirror and see Jesus by your command. And therefore, I don't see lack. I don't see poverty-stricken Christianity. I see all of our needs met in him. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in us. Thank you for finishing the good work you started in us, Lord. We are so grateful for what you're doing, Lord. We're so thankful for what you're doing, Lord. Lord, we know that so many times we complain and we are not grateful for what you have done. You want us to remember what you said you have done in the scriptures, not what people see in their physical realm, because they haven't exercised any faith. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, cause us to apprehend with all the saints what is the height, the depth, the breadth of Christ, everything that he is. Let us partake, Lord, of all of Jesus, Lord. We ask for your mercy and your grace, Lord, to bring this to pass. We thank you, Lord, for victory over the enemies. We ask today that they learn their lesson today, and that is bind the devil. Bind the demons. When something comes against your life, if a quick examination does not bring some need for repentance and it's not there, go right into binding the devil. We have authority over all the power of the enemy, all the way up to the top devil. We have authority. Lord, help us to remember this and not run seeking some kind of a method of the world to bring a solution to this, to the problem that the devil is bringing. Because we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. So, Lord, we're putting our trust in you to live in and through us and to cause us to walk as he walked. Lord, your word says very plainly that if anybody says they abide in him, let them walk as he walked. This is abiding in him. And if that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning, which is the word that's written in the scriptures, then we abide in the Son and in the Father. So, Lord, let us spend time. Give us the grace to spend time in your word and to put it into our hearts, that it may bear the fruit of Jesus Christ in us, and that we may be useful in your kingdom, especially in this coming revival, because it is coming. It's coming after attacks of the deep state. It's coming after earthquakes. It's coming. It's coming. And the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Oh, thank you, Father, for doing this for us. In Jesus' name, we praise and we give thanks unto you, Lord. The Lord is coming. And the Lord is coming in his people in a most fantastic way. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. Give grace, Lord. Give grace. Pour out your grace among us, Lord. We know that what you're doing out there today, Lord, we don't deserve it. We see that we were well on the way to judgment, major judgment, through Obama and Hillary. They had plans to destroy this country for their own greed, their own demon possession. They had plans to destroy this country, Lord. They were invading us with Islam, which is as far from Christ as you can get. And communists, which is far from Christ too. All of these are the beast, you know. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we were well on the way to being flooded with these people. And now they just look stupid to anybody that's got a half an ounce of Christianity in them. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you that your people are not going to submit to this stuff, this garbage. Lord, we know a day is coming very soon, very quickly, when things were going to be turned back in the direction we just came from. And we want to bear everything, bear the fruit of everything that we can during these days of your mercy and grace being poured out. Lord, we know you're going to restore unto your people the fear of the Lord. And that's an awesome thing, because that's the beginning of wisdom, as your Bible says. Lord, thank you. Thank you for restoring wisdom, gifts, power of the Spirit, the love of holiness, the fear of the Lord. Lord, we know that you are watching all of the time. Some people act as though only men are watching them, and that's who they want to impress. They don't care about impressing God, because then they would be holy. But Lord, give us a desire to impress you, because you miss nothing. You have it all recorded. And you've even given people revelations and dreams about that recording being played back to them. So it's all recorded. It's all being witnessed. Thank you, Father. You have said over and over that whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. He will render to every man according to his works, you have said, Lord. Pray, let your people know this. Let them understand this. I mean, it's easy to read those words and not let them soak in. And Lord, we know that when we put our faith in you, you live through us, you empower us, you gift us with everything that we need. It's you, Lord. We put our trust and our faith in you today, Lord. We ask you to pour out your grace upon us, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. The presence of the Lord is coming with the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Lord is coming to smite the enemies. We heard that today in our morning meeting, our morning prayer meeting. We got words that the Lord was going to judge the enemies. And we, of course, know that. We believe it. We thank you for it, Lord. And we want to progress in the kingdom. We want to be used greatly of you. We want to sow the seeds of righteousness and truth around the world. We want to see revival around the world. And you've told us that we're going to get to see it. And you've told us that you're going to provide our every need in order for this to happen. And Lord, we thank you so much for the people who are sacrificing their lives in order to get the word out and to get the food into the granaries to be ready for the 7 years of famine. And thank you, Lord, that that food that you've given freely to us, we also give freely. And we thank you that it's not going to come back void. We're going to see a great revival. A great revival. Hallelujah. Lord, this is what's more important to us than all the money in this world, all the prestige in this world, all of the lusts of the flesh in this world. Lord, we just want to sacrifice our lives in order to see your kingdom come, Lord. We want to enthrone you, Lord. You are the stone which the builders rejected, but you are the head. And we thank you for that, Lord, that you're going to take your headship and you're going to reign, as the revelation that we just shared. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. Well, okay, saints, keep us in your prayers, and we'll do the same for you. And get into God's word. Love it. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measures pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I'm not just talking about money either. I'm talking about whatever God's gift that he has put in your hand. Use it for the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.